الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. On the surface of it, it may seem that today's subject of discourse is something which is all too obvious. Right? Why would anyone even ask the question, why Rasulullah? Perhaps it would be more appropriate to ask the question, why not the Prophet of Allah? And almost everyone here who is present in the room, if I were to ask them and take them to the side and ask them, that do you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I do not think that there is a single person in this room who would say no. And if I were to ask any single person, right, regardless of race, regardless of gender, right, or to take them aside and ask them, right, do you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than your own father? They would say, of course. Right? And I were to ask you, do you love him more than your own work? They would say, of course. Do you love him more than, your schooling and your degree? People would say, of course. Right? I would be taken aback, astonished, right? It would be a matter of serendipity if I were to find a single person in this room who would say otherwise. But then I would like to pose the following question to the audience. In the past 24 hours, if we care so much about this man, in the past 24 hours, how many of us thought about him? In the past week? The past month? The past year? Right? We blindly read Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad in our salah as automatons. Right? You just turn on the button and then the recording starts. But who from their heart, right, actually took some pause in life and said, I wanted to think about Rasulullah. Now let me tell you, if you care about something, you're always thinking about it. Right? If you love something, you can't get that thing out of your mind. Whether it's morning, whether it's evening, whether it's afternoon, whether it's night, that thing will constantly be weighing upon your mind. Right? So, though it is easy to pay lip service, right, to this concept of loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our own personal states, and each one knows best what their own personal state is, right, perhaps may leave much to be desired. Right? And so, if a person is cognizant and he comes to this somewhat critical and perhaps painful realization that his emotional valence, his emotional context, his emotional being, right, with regards to Rasulullah is not where it should be, right, then that should be a point of departure for the remainder of today's talk. Intellectually, right, I think everyone is convinced. No one has to be convinced here that Muhammad is Rasulullah, nor is that the discourse of today's topic. The topic of today's discourse was why? Why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do you care? Right? Why do you like him? Why should you like him? Right? Why should you become madly in love with this man? So we will take a deliberate and perhaps tempered approach and approach this matter systematically. First, I would like, maybe we can just make this a little bit interactive, okay? Has anyone ever thought about what it means to care about someone, right? What makes you care about something? Anyone? When you say, I care about it, just take one step back and think, why do I care about that, right? In a philosophical or theoretical terms, what causes someone to care? Anyone? The person is of some type of benefit, right? It's good. Any other?
Fear of loss.
Fear of loss. right? Fear of loss and, okay? Right, so there's some type of shared sense of, you know, commonality between the two individuals. And then you care about that thing, or that concept, or that quiddity, entity. Anyone else like to join in the fray? To put you on track, right? When you love someone, right? And that's perhaps closest to the truth, right? When you love someone, you always automatically care about them. Because the greatest loss is the fact that you might lose out on their love and not get to be with them. Right? This is how the Sahaba were with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to come to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to come mahzoon. They were in a state of grief. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Why do you see this? Why do I see you in this state?" They would reply that, "Ya Rasulullah, right? In this life, we get to be with you, right? We sit with you. We are with you. But in Akhirah, you will be somewhere else, right? And we'll not get to be with you." And this pain, right, used to draw them out of their houses. Right, this common sense of commonality that, you know, the other brother mentioned is also based on love. You mentioned benefit, right? And so the Sahaba saw that when you love someone, right, the ultimate benefit is realization of that love. I'll extend this a little bit more philosophically. People tend to care about those things which they feel are relevant. Right, and things that they love are definitively relevant, but relevance occupies, in abstract terms, a scope of meaning which transcends even perhaps love. Right? People feel that is relevant, and people think that that thing is real. Right? Something is real. So if you're standing on the middle of 40, right, and a truck is coming to hit you, right, you think that truck is very real, right? And it is very relevant, right, when it's about to hit you. So you're going to care a lot. The more relevant something is to you, and the more real something becomes to you, right, the more you start caring about it, right? There's a sense of immediacy, the sense of relevance that is cannot be ignored. If I were to ask everyone else, everyone doesn't have paper and pencil, if I were to ask someone else, right, to just take a step back and say, what are the top three things that you care about in your life? Right? What would you say? You don't have to say it out loud. Just make a note to yourself. Okay? Then make another list. What are the top three things that you usually think about? Right? What are the top three things that you dream about? Right? What are the top three things that you work on? If you analyze this and there's a discrepancy, the latter is most probably closer to the truth of what you really care about. Right? And we generally care about work, we care about family, we care about success, we care about many other things. Right? And the reason we care about them is we think that these things are relevant in our dunya. Because if we don't do these things, some harm will come our way or we'll lose some type of benefit. And we don't see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with that same type of relevance. So what I would like to do in the ensuing discussion is to frame out in a logical manner, right, why it makes absolutely no sense, right, absolutely no sense to care about anyone other than Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right. Reason number one, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala loved Rasulullah. Allah, the creator of the entire universe, the originator of everything, the very manifestation of what we conceive as perfection, omniscient, omnipotent, that being loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like no other. He was given the highest title, Habibullah. Now there's a saying in Arabic, Habibul Habib Habib, right? That whoever is beloved to the beloved is also beloved to you. Sort of like what we call in, you know, our logical terms, if A is equal to B, then B is equal to C, then A equals needs to also be equal to C. So if someone is, any friend of yours is my friend. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, to be his beloved, right, then does it not behoove us if we claim love for God to make him our beloved as well. And there, without a shadow of a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Example after example after example, it is borne out in the Quran and Hadith literature. You know, when you have respect for someone, when you venerate someone, you don't call them by their name. Maybe in this country, right? When you talk to your dad, you say, "Hey Joe," right? "Hey Jack." But in our culture, right, a culture of adab, a culture of civility and decorum, right, you don't want to show honor, to show respect, to show a deep-rooted love towards someone, you don't refer to them by their name. Right? Even when you have a child, right, and you really love them a lot, you say Munnu, right, you say Chanda, you say, you know, Guria, you see so many different names, right, my gold, my moon, so many other things, but you don't call them by their name, right? Because you have this value of them in your eyes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, He refers to the other Anbiya by their names. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned many more times in the Quran than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by name is mentioned only 4 times. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He refers to him indirectly. Tilka rasulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. For example, right? These are the messengers. We have given some of them superiority over others. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't directly say His name. Right? It's such a loving way, such a respectful way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing how much I care about my Nabi. Point number 2. When it comes to other messengers, they would stand in their own defense. Right? When a person would say a certain thing about them, right? They would, for example, defend themselves that we are not, for example, crazy. We are not, except for doing this or bringing this message. When it came to the matter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and someone tried to quote unquote mess with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they were messing with Allah. Right? He says, "You don't mess with my friend, my beloved." Right? He loved all the messengers, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a special maqam. Right? He had a special maqam, a special status. So when they called him that you're crazy, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself replied, "Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon." You're not crazy. By my mercy, by my blessing, there's nothing crazy about you. I testify for that. I'm your witness. I'm your wakil. That's no small task. Number 3, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different prophets, He takes the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again indirectly first. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكَ right وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكَ وَأَخَذْنَا النَّبِيِّينَ وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى right. First person that's mentioned is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He heads the list, right? He heads the list. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose any order. And when Umar radiallahu an, He heard this ayah. He was taken aback. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you so much that He mentioned you before all the prophets." Allahu Akbar Kabira. How much love must Allah have for the Messenger of Allah? In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equates following the Messenger to following Him. Man ata'a Rasulah faqad ata'a Allah. If you're following Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's like a blank check, right? You only give a blank check to someone that you really, 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 really trust, right? Or someone that you really, really love, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the blank check. That if someone is following you, they are following me. That's a big deal. I think we're on point number 5 or 6. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to send blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He wanted the mu'mineen to do that, He didn't just tell the mu'mineen, "Sallu alayhi," send salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He started the matter by His own self. "Inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal..." I'm doing this, so you do it as well. Right? When you're engaging in sending salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a divine act. This is a divine act. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is doing. Right? How much must Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that He says, "If you want me to love you, you must follow this man." Right? If you know, they say to a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? So the woman, if she cooks good food for the man, then he gets happy, right? And then he wins his heart. So there's some type of, you know, road. You want to make inroads, you have to pick that thing which is most beloved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you want to make inroads to me? You want my closeness? You want to have proximity to me? You have to have this, you have to follow Rasulullah's system. There's no other way. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ If you do truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي Say, O my beloved, say, O Muhammad, to the rest of humanity that will come to the end of time. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ If you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي Then follow me. يعني follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? يُحْبِبْ And what will happen in response? Right? This is the jawab, this is the jumla al-shartiyah. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ If you do that, then Allah will love you. And not only that, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ And He will forgive all your sins. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you love someone, you start giving them a lot. If you love your wife, you go and try to find a nice ring, a nice necklace, nice roses, and you bring it and give it to your wife because you love them. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He Himself had to say in the Quran, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا That my fadl over you, how much I have given to you, is nothing small. It is tremendous. It is enormous. It is grace. It is stupendous. Alima. It's not to be taken lightly. And when someone likes someone, right? They don't want to send, when you really care a lot, for example, when you have our first child, your parents become hypersensitive, right? They want their kid to be, you know, at the top of everything. Right? And so then you say, oh, I don't even trust the public schooling system. They're going to fall behind. I'd rather homeschool my own child. Right? I'm going to give him extra things. I'm going to tutor him myself. I'm going to make sure that he gets into the best college. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that He Himself taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made him Nabi al-Ummi. Right? He was an unlettered prophet. He didn't send him to any other tutor. He said, I myself will be your teacher. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ And He taught you, and وَعَلَّمَكَ And He taught you, مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ That which you used to not even know yourself. Right? Allahu Akbar. What a close relationship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must have had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him so much, that He made a definitive statement in the Qur'an. وَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, وَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ If it was your fathers, وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ And your children. وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ And your brothers. وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ Right? And your wives. وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ Right? And your families. وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا And your wealth. وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا And those businesses that you fear that they will come to some type of decline if you leave them alone. Right? If you don't go to work, you're gonna lose your job. Right? I have to take a day with a leave. Right? Without any pay. Right? وَتَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرَضَوْنَهَا And these beautiful houses that you make for yourself. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ If any of these are more beloved to you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ Then you just wait. Then you just wait. Right? So now you don't want to mess with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anything else. If He Himself, look, me and you can make a bad decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make a bad decision. As much as it is humanly possible for a human, in the realm of human possibility, for some type of human being to achieve some type of human perfection, right? Because true perfection only lies in Allah, right? So, as much as it is humanly possible to be perfect, that perfection is found in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you find perfection somewhere, And why wouldn't you love that person? Why wouldn't you care about that? We care about a million and one things, right? This is actually so, it is so blatantly clear. Because everything else that we care about in our life is inherently imperfect. It is so imperfect that we run behind it and they kick us through the door. You want to be the top in your class? You're striving, you're working against the grain. Right? You're striving against the current. You're trying to get ahead in your career. You're working against the current. There's a counter pressure. You're giving it your all because you want something back from them. Right? And what do you want back? Something back? Something that was imperfect anyway. What are they going to give you? Some mal? They're going to give you a lousy degree? Now what are you going to do with it? Take it to you at your grave? Allahu Akbar. What are we hankering after? But Rasulullah says, we're running after the world, and the world is pushing us away. Instead, on the other hand, you just turn around, and you see Rasulullah is, we're pulling our hands away. Rasulullah is grabbing our hand and thrusting iman into our hand. And we're saying, no, I don't want it. Of course you should care about Rasulullah. Who else would you care about? And the thing that he's putting in your hand is perfection. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying that this day I've perfected for you your religion. I've made it something complete. There's no chapter that's left to be coming. You're done. Right? It's the final promotion. Everything is done. And Rasulullah says, I'm putting that in our hand, and you pull your hand away. What type of adab is that? What type of etiquette is that with Rasulullah? Number one, we said we must care about Rasulullah ﷺ because Allah cares about him and Allah loves him. Point number two, we must care about Rasulullah ﷺ because he was beautiful. Well, why do you have to care about something that's beautiful? Why do you have to care about something that's beautiful? Just because he's beautiful doesn't mean I have to care about him. Be sincere, my friends. In your own lives, you want everything beautiful. And you care about everything beautiful. When you're youth, you want beautiful women. Right? You want only the most beautiful wife. When if your mother comes and says, you know, son, I think this girl would be good for you. Like, I'm not going to get married to her until I see her. Right? You would never take that blind leap of faith. Because looks, beauty is so important. And when you get a little bit older, would you ever tell your real estate agent, yeah, just go buy a house for me. I don't care what it looks like. No, it has to be beautiful. The kitchen has to be nice. The flooring has to be nice. Everything has to be nice. Everyone cares about beauty. Right? Do we ever get up in the morning? Maybe some people do, right? Who just don't care. But most people do care about their looks. They care about their clothes. They care about their hair. Right? People spend hours, half an hour, especially when it's for a shadi, before some wedding. The hair has to be right. Everything has to be, GQ. We care about beauty. But we care about beauty in every single other department. When it comes to Rasulullah system, just because he's beautiful, why do I have to care about him? Because you do in every other walk of your life, in every other aspect of your life. Don't carry two rulers. Carry one ruler. And measure everything by the same standard. One poet said about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحسن منك ما رأيت عيني قط. Right? That more beautiful than you, the eyes have never beheld. Right? وَأَجْمَلَ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. And more beautiful than you, never did a woman bear. Right? خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created free from any type of defect. كَأَنَّمَا خُلِقْتُ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. As if you have been created however which you desired. Right? It's like you gave the specs and you said, make me like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you according to your own desire. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala he narrates that Rasulullah was the most beautiful of all the messengers. And he was a young child, and the way he used to describe the hands of Rasulullah, he used to say that it was as if I was touching silk. Right? And this is not mubalagha, this is not an exaggeration that he was trying to put up Rasulullah. This is what he felt. This is what he felt. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to say about Rasulullah, if the women of, beautiful poem, right? She said, if the women of Zulaykha, right, were to see the beauty of my beloved, right, they would have not come. Zulaykha was the woman who tries to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph. So she said, if they were to see your beauty, they would not have cut their fingers, right? Because what happened is Zulaykha called him into the room because all the women were blaming him because they said she fell for Yusuf. Right? How could she fall for Yusuf? She says, you don't know, what type of beauty Yusuf has. If you see, then you would know. So she called him into the room, and then she had given each one of them a knife to cut apple with. And when they walked into the room, they became so overwhelmed by his beauty, right? قُلْنَا مَا هَذَا بَشَرَ. This is not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is nothing but an angel, beautiful angel walking around, right, on earth. An angel on earth. Now, girls in this day, they say that he was dreamy. Right? He's dreamy. That's what they thought. He was dreamy. And he was so dreamy, right? That they got into some state where they actually cut their own fingers. Aisha radiallahu anha says, if these people were to know my beloved's beauty, they would not cut their fingers, they would have cut their hearts. Right? In fact, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, one of the famous mufassirin, he says that if the true beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never unveiled, because its beauty was so intense, if it were to be unveiled, that people could not take it. And so he had a veiled beauty. But his beauty was so enormous, the enormity of his beauty, it transcended everything else. It comes in one narration that this is even before prophethood. Right? Even before prophethood. If you read, for example, there's many stories in the interest of time. How are we doing on time? Allahu Akbar. We're not even like, we'll have to speed up. Rasulullah SAW had a foster sister. He used to stay with Bibi Halima, right? She was his foster mother, a suckling mother. And there was a tradition of the Quraysh Arabs that they used to send themselves, their children out amongst with the Bedouins so that they could refine themselves, right? They could refine themselves in the art of eloquent speech. Right, because they wanted to get them the pure language. It's equivalent to sending your kids to Kuman in this day and age. Right? That's how they used to do. They used to send them out. So what used to happen is, Rasulullah SAW was given to Bibi Halima. Right? And she had a daughter by the name of Shima. And whenever she was sent to send out, take her animals for flock, she would say that, you know, I want you to send Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with me. He was just a young child at that time. And she says, why do you always ask for that? She says, when we go out, both me and the sheep, we just put Rasulullah ﷺ there and we stare at his beauty. As a child, he was so beautiful. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he narrates that whoever laid eyes on Rasulullah ﷺ, badahatan, initially, right, was awestruck. Right? And then that would give way until they were drowned in love. And in praise of them, praise of him, they would say that, I have never ever seen anything so awesome as he, neither before him nor after him. That was the beauty. The Sahaba, literally, they would be sitting with Rasulullah, they would look at the full moon, which was the very epitome, which was the archetype of beauty, right? An archetype for beauty amongst Quraishi Arabs. He would look at the moon, look at Rasulullah, look at Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, looking at the moon, looking at Rasulullah. Why is he looking back and forth? Because he wants to make an objective discernment. He wants to make an objective decision. It's not something emotional, right? He's making a value judgment. Looking at the full moon in a desert Arabian night. You can imagine how beautiful that is. Then he's looking at the face of Rasulullah, right? And then he comes to the conclusion that the face of Rasulullah is much more lovely than the full moon on a desert night. Imagine what it must have been to sit with Rasulullah and actually hear from his mouth the words of hadith coming out. If I tell you the words, Ad-Din, qala Rasulullah, Ad-Dinun Nasiha, right? That religion is good advice. There's actually a man, one time, sitting in the deserts of Arabia with very few belongings to his name in some mud hut, forgotten to the rest of the world, with just a handful of flowers, followers, right? In the quiet of those desert Arabian nights, he would sit and talk to them, and he would teach them. Imagine hearing those words by your own ears. Imagine looking up and seeing the blessed, beautiful face of Rasulullah. How must that feel? He was a real person. He was unlike any other person who ever graced the surface of the earth. Number one, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him. Number two, because he was beautiful. Number three, because he had good character. If a person does one good thing to us, there's an old Indian saying, I won't say it in Urdu, but they say, if anyone does a favor to you, well, we can apply this later. We'll put that aside. But what we do know is that people who are nice, right? Our boss is he's not very nice. He's even a little bit nice. You come home and tell your wife, oh, my boss is so cool, right? Or you go to school and the professor gives everyone a 10-point curve. And you're going home and my professor, he's the best professor ever and this and that. Because he gave you a 10-point curve, right? This is akhlaq, right? This is character. When a person, for example, my car ran out of gas, right? And it coasted into some warehouse. And so this guy came out and he gave me some gas. And I said, I don't have any money right now. All right, I can come back tomorrow and give it to you. And he says, you know what? Go out and do something good for someone else. And I was struck by that because it was good character. Right? It was good character. There is no person who had more beautiful character than Rasulullah. Like, that guy's one act was enough to, you know, impress upon my mind that I could mention it in a talk, you know, so many weeks or months later. Imagine the character of Rasulullah was so profound that people 1400 years later remember it in complete, you know, idealization. What was the character of Rasulullah? Right? How awesome was he as a person? Do you want to know? He was so awesome that the creator of the entire universe complimented him. He got a compliment from Allah. Right? He didn't get just a compliment. He got an A++. Right? Allah SWT is putting the stamp. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on a lofty, a grand, an enormous, a tremendous ethos. Right? Your standard of character is something which is magnificent. Allah is saying that. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala an, she was asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان خلقه القرآن. That his akhlaq were the Qur'an. He was a living, walking, talking Qur'an. Right? Many of us have struggled to even imbibe and embody and manifest one verse of the Qur'an in our lives truly. This is a man who manifested the Qur'an in its entirety in his life. He was generous like the wind. His generosity touched everyone indiscriminately. Right? He didn't care if you were tall or small. He didn't care if you were Muslim or non-Muslim. He just gave and gave and gave. He could not sleep at night if he had anything lying in his house. He had to just give it away. People were so overwhelmed by his giving. Right? When a person came to him and he said, no, give. And he gave him like entire, it's like giving a person entire yard of Mercedes. And he said, yeah, just take this Mercedes. We can't give our car to someone to borrow because, you know, our wife is saying in the back that, no, kharab karke denge gaadi, you know. And then like, they're going to like ruin your car and give it back. Right? Because, you know, don't give him that book. It's an Islamic, but don't give it to him. The people never give it back. Right? This is the way we are. Rasulullah used to give without any fear of loss. And this giving was so powerful and so, you know, had such an impact on people that a person, like this Bedouin Arab, would go to his home and he would say that, oh, people believe in Muhammad because he gives without fear of loss. His hands were just open. Right? Complete tawakkal on Allah. Right? Completely disinvested in the earth, and he lived a life of volitional poverty. And literally, the mountains could have been turned into gold for him. He was given offers. He could have had any woman he wanted. He could have had any position he wanted. He could have any wealth he wanted. He could have been the big person on the block. He could have been the king of Arabia. Right? But rather, he chose to be the slave of God. That's because he believed in his message. A false prophet cannot build a house of cards. The prophet of Islam built the house of Islam which has held strong for 1400 years. He is not a false prophet. He never got angry for his own self. He did not take vengeance. He always was just in all his transactions. So much so that he said, if it was my own daughter Fatima who would have stolen, I would have cut off her own hand. And this was the person that he loved so much that he said, Hiya bil'atu qalbi, she is a piece of my heart. It's not an easy thing to say when you're calling the shots. If he could have said, my family is exempt because they're my family. No. Justice is justice. All were equal in front of the law. He never said no to anybody. He can't go 5 minutes without saying no sometimes. He never said no to anything. He was the bravest of all men. In the face of battle when everyone was running away, one man against an entire army moving forward, right? Ana nabiyun la kathib. Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am a prophet. There's no doubt about it. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. Confidence like a mountain, right? Ready to take on an army single-handedly. That type of bravery. When the city of Medina was shaken, right? People were like waiting, and eventually people said, let's go out and be the vanguard. When they came out, Rasulullah was already out. And he said, go back to your homes. I've checked everything. Everything is okay. He was the first person, right? He was in the front line, right? He was in the back seat. He was an orator. He was a statesman. He was a teacher. He was a father. He was a revolutionary. He was a thinker. He was all of these in one man and much more. The life of him, history has never beheld. He lived in the full light of human history. Full light of human history, such that no other man has lived such. We cannot open up 1 hour of our life at home, except that we would be embarrassed. In fact, literally, if 1 hour of our lives at home were opened up to the rest of the Jamaat, we would feel shy to go out in front of the rest of the Jamaat. We couldn't say salam to each other. This is a person who spent his entire life having it completely documented. And he said, this is a book. And the book was so perfect, right? Bukhari is so perfect. He said, my life is so perfect that this is your model of life. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِيهِمْ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In him is a beautiful model for you. Full light of history. There's nothing hiding. His family life, his wives, what happened on at home, how he dealt with others. Everything's out in the open. Right? Nothing's being held back. And the reason no one held anything back, no one felt the reason to hide anything, even though it might be today controversial, because they saw it in eyes that this was perfection. So we know we're getting the real deal. He ate very little. Right, months would go and no fire would be lit in his own house. When people would lift out their shirts and there would be one stone, right? Then there's one stone on his stomach. He would lift up his shirt and there would be two stones on his. He was sincere. He was humble, so humble that though he was the king of both worlds, king of jinn and men, he would not like men to stand up for him. He would tell them to sit down. Alright, so we're short on time, and we went only through three reasons so far. So I'm going to race through some of these other reasons, right? Maybe we won't go through all of them. Reason number four, this is really crucial. The reason we need to care about Rasulullah is because he cared about us. He cared about you. You see little children, right? We know the names of which baseball player, we know their runs batted in, we know the statistics, we know who's on the roster, you know how much they're making. And these people don't know your name. These people don't know your name, nor did even if they knew your name, they could care less. And this was the person, on the other hand, whose entire life, this was the person, إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُّبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. His past sins and his future sins were already forgiven. He didn't have to make up with Allah, right? He was a man of God already. He was the beloved of Allah. He stayed on the earth to make sure that we get connected to Allah. He stayed on this earth because he was worried about you and me. That's not a small thing. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That the Nabi, he is more closer to the mu'mineen than their own selves. He is like a father for all of us. Which one of us don't call our father? Which one of us don't care about our father? Which one of us ignore our father? Which one of us don't listen to our father? Which one of us mock our father? Which one of us belittle our father? Which one of us thinks that our father is something less? If we can't do that with our biological father, how can that we do that with our ruhani father, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We have to get serious. It's not a joke. One day you're going to stand in front of your father. And he's going to see you. And he'll say, son, is this how you led your life? That's going to hurt. When your mother, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she says, son, you looked at that. Or she's going to say, son, you led your life like that. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You don't want that. One time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made dua, oh Allah, make me reunited with my lovers. And Thawban radiallahu anhu, he was with him, he said, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is your lovers? We are your lovers. Right? He said, yes, you are my sahaba. Right? You see the revelation coming before you. You sit with me. Right? The revelation descends before you. The angels are coming and going before you. But rather towards the end of, and he said that, indeed, your faith is very precious. But near the end of time, there'll be a group of people. There'll be a group of people who shall have never seen me. And the book will come to them between two slates. Right? They never saw me. They just heard about me. But they'll have so much love for me that they would sell their children to have a single glance at me. Those are my lovers. And those are those people who I'm making dua that I'm reunited with them. Don't you want to be that lover? Don't you want to be that lover? He was the grandest of all human beings. In fact, it comes Qadi Ayyad, it puts this narration as authentic and famous in Al-Shifa. That Adam alayhi salam, when he made a mistake, he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Ya Allah, please forgive me, right, for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, he said, O Muhammad, how do you know, and O Adam, how do you know about Muhammad when I have not created him yet? And he said, Ya Allah, right, when you created me with your hand and you breathed into me your spirit, and I looked up and in the highest area of your throne, I saw La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I knew that the only person's name that you would put in that position would be that person who is most beloved to you. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O Adam, I have forgiven you, and were it not for Muhammad, I would not have created you. In fact, some people go as far as to say that all of creation was brought into existence for the sake of Rasulullah. How grand is he that when it came time to lead the prayer, he was put at the head of imamat position in Baytul Muqaddas before all the Anbiya. He's leading the likes of Isa, Jesus, the likes of Moses, Kalimullah, the like of Isa, Ruhullah, the like of Ibrahim, Khalilullah, the like of Adam, you know, the like of Nuh. Like, he is leading these people in prayer. Can you imagine who that person is? This fell in our lap. This Islam fell in our lap. This Rasulullah fell in our lap. Then we need to take it seriously, lest we lose it. Don't have time to go into everything. I will stop. I will mention two or three things, and then we'll talk about how you create that love. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent the entire night. One of the reasons that you must love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is because he loved you and he has done every single thing in his life for you. He has given his sweat, his blood, his tears, his days, his nights for our sake. And we can't give 5 minutes? We can't try to adopt his sunnah in our life? That is a shame. Right? That is a shame. That person who in the night, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's seeing him, he's spending the whole night making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repeating the word, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If you punish them, Ya Allah, they are your servants at the end of the day. You have every right. But if you forgive them, then you are Aziz and you are Hakim. Whole night he's praying for you. One time he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, so much, so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, he's asking so much forgiveness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. That whatever you ask, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ, He will surely give you, فَتَرْضَى, and you shall be made pleased. Know this dissonance, this uneasiness that exists within you, I'll take care of it. Ya Rasulullah sallam, tell me what you want. Then Rasulullah sallam said, Ya Allah, if you want me to be happy, I can never be happy that except that even if a single of my ummati will be in Jahannam. I can't stay. I love them too much. I love them too much. And we are those same people who say that it's only sunnah. It's only sunnah. This person, who we know that every Nabi had a dua. And he used that dua in his life. And the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, did you use your dua in your life? He said, no, I have saved it for the day of Qiyamah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what dua, why did you save it for the day of Qiyamah? He said, I saved it on the day of Qiyamah so I can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that not a single one except that not a single one of my ummah will be left except that they should enter into Jannah. That would be my prayer. On that day where every single person would be saying, Nafsi, 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 my own self, that one person will be have the slogan of Ummati, 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 my nation. My nation. Everyone cares about himself, but one man I can say cares about someone else. And that's Rasulullah. And he cared about you. And he cared about me. So how do you bring this love into your life? We have to end with something practical. You have to learn about him. Right? We must, many of the kids in this room know more about Thomas Edison or George Washington than they know about Rasulullah. We know more about Allama Iqbal, right? Or maybe even Imam Abu Hanifa, then we know about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't work that way. When you know this man, you will love him. Number one. So you know his seerah. You read his hadith. You go to talks in bayans to talk about the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You go to Darul Hikmah, for example, they have a whole seminar on this, about the profession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Know his shama'il. Read the shama'il of Imam Tirmidhi. Number one. Number two, be around those people who follow that sunnah, his sunnah. Be around the people who love him, because that love will transfer into your heart. Otherwise, you will spend years in your life trying to bring this love into your life, but it's going to be very hard, because one day will bleed into the next. But spend a little bit of time amongst those people who are just crazy about Rasulullah system, you will see some of this love being transferred. Right? You will see these people who on the outside, they'll start looking like Rasulullah, who on the inside will start looking like Rasulullah. Number three, you should ponder over his ihsan, his favors over you, and send salawat on him. Send blessings on him. This will increase love for Rasulullah. And finally, you have to implement his sunnah in your life. The more sunnah that will come in your life, the more love will come into your life for this man. Right? Whether it be external or it be internal. Whether it's being nice to your wife. Whether it means to go to someone and just smile at them. Because even smiling at a person is charity. Whether it means meeting someone and not removing your hand unless the other person removes his hand first. Right? So whether it is going to work and making everyone around you feel like the most special thing on the face of the earth. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah, that every person who was in his presence felt special. Right? Make the people around you feel special. Make your wife feel special. Make your mom feel special. Make your dad feel special. Make your children feel special, because they are. This is the way of Rasulullah. Stop saying no to people. Just do things for people. This is sunnah. Sunnah is not only keeping the long beard. I'm not saying that that's not sunnah, right? But this is also sunnah. And one doesn't obviate the other. Number two, if you want to follow the sunnah, you have to start with the fard. Right? Start with the fard and stay away from the haram. That is sunnah. You don't think about it in those terms. But that is sunnah. And then you start moving into, you know, what is quote unquote sunnah or nafil, and staying away from makruhat, and it comes in, right? Into the sort of this cosmic rendering of concentric circles. Number three, every time that you do something, right, make the du'as that Rasulullah made. If you're already doing that, then ponder upon those meanings, because that will create love. And number four, forge a connection with Rasulullah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you forge this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, by default, you will, inshallah, begin to have this deep love. And last but not least, find a teacher to help you learn to bring this love of Rasulullah in your life. Right? When you sit with that teacher, he will teach you literally. Right? And as you begin to love Rasulullah, your love for Allah will grow. Right? So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who have a true love for Rasulullah, one that is not merely intellectual, but one that stems from the inner cores of our very heart, that strikes the most innermost dimension of our existence, which is our very quintessence, that we love Rasulullah more than anything else, more than our own selves, that he is dearer to us than life itself, that he is dearer to us than anything else on the face of this earth or in our, that we can imagine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are with him in this life, who are amongst his lovers in this life, and who are in his company in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Jazakum Allah khair.